allowing God to use us to accomplish what he's wanted there in the land of Brazil. We'll watch the video at this moment, and then we'll hear something from the Word of God. Thank you. God led Pam and I in 2010 to start the Emmanuel Baptist Church of the Meta in Holmes. Our church prayed for the Lord to build it and to guide it. Soon he opened this school for us. On weekends and Wednesdays, and without paying rent, we were there for 4 years. Started the deaf ministry, orchestra, workers. God gave us to do many different things. Men who could preach the Word of God. The Lord gave us children of all ages. How precious it was. The Lord gave us ladies that could sing. He is making pure, wonderful families. Many who have dedicated themselves to train their children in the way of the Lord, and many fathers who love Him. The ladies started a retreat once a year, and we moved into this music hall and taught our children to love God, the Bible, and to see them growing in the Lord. We moved on to another building that we rented, and here we were able to see the deaf ministry continue, the choir to grow, and also our orchestra to grow, and Vacation Bible School, and workers to help us. God's children have learned to love and give to missions. God has called 4 men out of our church for missions, even the National Guard of Venezuela is hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to love our children. How we need to see the church growing, and we praise the Lord for what he's doing. Listen to the children singing, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me." Sharing the gospel truth to others is God's purpose in missions. On the streets, and serving morning coffee, and giving the gospel in front of the hospital, preaching the word to 100 young people in our youth retreat. The ladies' retreat grew to 300 ladies. In December, 4 students graduated from the Bible Institute. The Holy Ghost called 2 men to be ordained to the ministry, Alexandre, to Venezuela, and Jaime, in 2020, now leading the church forward. Also in 2019, God opened the door for us to buy this land and plans to build this building. When COVID-19 came, churches were closed, but God enabled us to continue all services in Sunday school and even deaf work in our home. After 4 months, we were back in our building. Pray for the Emmanuel Baptist Church. In December last year, we packed a truck and moved to Vilhena, Rondônia, about 1,400 miles northwest of where we were. Pray for us while we're on furlough, and as we fly back to Brazil in September to move to Cacoa, 3 hours north of Vilhena, to start an independent Baptist church with a few believers that are already there waiting. God has led us to join our son Jeremy and his wife Amanda and family to begin this ministry together. May the Lord enable us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord until He comes. Thank you for your prayers and support in helping us take the gospel to Brazil. Blessed be the Lord God, who only doth wondrous things. God led Pam and I in 2010 to start.
I'm going to watch it again. Good, okay. Very good. God's done some marvelous things, and we praise the Lord for what He is doing. And now we're going to be starting a whole new ministry. And you notice that when we get to Brazil, we're moving on to a city called Cacoal, a city of a little over 100,000 people. There's no independent Baptist church there. In fact, I don't know if there are any churches that really preach the gospel and the word of God. And so the Lord's giving us the opportunity to start a church there. There's many other smaller towns and cities around, which gives us a vision of expanding and training nationals and starting some other works out from the city. The city's kind of located near the center of the state of Rondônia. On our prayer card, you'll notice it says Rondônia. That's the state that we'll be working in. And we just praise the Lord for what He's doing. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you. Starting in 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to read verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. This verse we read, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow His steps." Jesus Christ was an example for us. And we find that we should follow in His steps. Now, I'm going to leave this passage here, but with this thought, we need to follow in the steps of Jesus. I want to take you to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, we find the greatest missionary that has ever there has ever been, the Lord Jesus Christ. He traveled the longest distance to come to this earth. He sacrificed the most of anyone. He left glory, all the glories of heaven, to be born into a sinful world. Jesus Christ gave up more than anyone. He suffered more than any other man, as far as we understand. He really certainly took upon Him all our sin when He died on the cross. And He was buried, but He rose again to give new life. Jesus Christ was the greatest missionary. And we find here in chapter 17, His prayer to the Lord, to the Father. And in this prayer, we find a relationship that He had with the Father that He wants us to have with God too. And we find that He is an example to us of several things that we're going to notice and how God wants us to be the same way. I'd like for us to have a word of prayer and ask God to bless. Father, we come to You and ask that You would direct our thoughts in our hearts, help us to hear from Thee today, and I pray that You would bless us and strengthen us and help us to be challenged in the Word of God to continue on and to accomplish what You desire for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share at least five, if not seven. Now, it could be, it'll all depend on time. I might say this. I have three different messages in this chapter. And sometimes I'd like to put them all together and just take, 2 hours to preach them. But most people don't want that. So anyway, I want to share with you a few things, how Christ was an example and how we should follow in His steps. In verse 1, we read, These words spake Jesus. Let me go back to chapter 16 and read verse 33. Here we find in verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Hey, we're in a world of tribulation today. That is, we're not in the 7 years tribulation, but we're in a world that's complicated today. A lot of violence, a lot of sickness, everything that's going on today, it's a different world than what it was back 44 years ago. It's totally different, but you know, what Jesus said is exactly what we need to hear. And be at peace. He says, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Hey, you know, the Lord didn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to be encouraged. Now, as we go into chapter 17, we find in verse 1, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." Let me say the first thing here. Christ was an example of someone who glorified God the Father. In everything we find in the life of Christ, he glorified God. He glorified God in his body. He glorified God in what he did and the words that came out of his mouth. In everything that he did, he glorified God. He's an example for us. But can we say that we are glorifying God every day? In every part of our lives? Is it a desire within us? Are we really challenged to glorify God? Or are we today so wrapped up in all the wonderful things that the world offers and the things that the devil throws at us and tries to distract us from the Word of God, distract us from coming to church and praising the Lord and glorifying God? You know, that's what the devil is out to stop us from glorifying God. But Christ is our example. He didn't have it so easy, I don't think, when he was growing up. I can't get into all that. It's kind of interesting. I studied one time about the city of Nazareth, where he grew up. He was born in Bethlehem, but when he grew up in Nazareth, I read one time, Nazareth was a wicked city. It was a wicked city, and I thought Christ grew up in that city as a teenager, as a child, and yet he overcame everything that he confronted in his life. He glorified God, and he wants us to glorify God in our lives. Now, that's the first step. The second step we find in verse 2 and verse 3. Excuse me. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh," remember he's praying to the Father, "that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus here was an example of one who gave life, eternal life. Yes, he died on the cross. He took upon him our sin. He died, was buried, and he rose again to prove that he is God, that he has life, and he can give life, eternal life, to this world. You know what this world needs today? Eternal life. They didn't realize there is a life beyond this world. And we find that Jesus Christ is an example of one who gives eternal life. Yes, he died. He paid for it. He offers eternal life to everyone who will repent and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and believe that he died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we follow in his steps? He wants us to share eternal life with others. How others can find eternal life. Now, we can't give eternal life, but we certainly have the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that leads people to how they can receive eternal life. I think young people today, young people today are searching for something great in life. And they want a great life, and they're searching and really growing. But what are they looking for? They're finding riches. They're finding all the things the world offers. And we're finding that less and less and less young people are really surrendering their lives to do what God wants them to do. And we find that Jesus is an example for us in the fact that he wants the world to have eternal life. Now, that's missions, because he wants us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. How many people around us don't know for sure that they're going to heaven? How many people around us really would like to have an answer for sin and corruption and violence and everything that's going on around us? No, we have the answer. We have the answer. And if we don't share it, if we don't give it, how are they going to know? How are they going to hear? Jesus died to give us eternal life. He died for the world. And we find that God wants us to take that message, and he wants us to share it with this world, that the world might know how they too can have eternal life. And he uses all of us if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you have eternal life, let me just say, God loves the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to give you life. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to find what God says. You need to trust Jesus Christ. Repent that you're a sinner. Ask Christ to save you from your sin. I was saved many years ago. I was about 10 years of age. We lived here in Allegheny, up on the 4 Mile. That time, the Allegheny Baptist Church didn't exist yet. But we went to the 5 Mile Baptist Church. And I remember there was a preacher. And he preached, I think it was a Wednesday night, I'm not sure, but we were on the way home, and I was just thinking, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. He preached about the second coming of the Lord. And I kept thinking about that, and I was in my room at night and just thinking, and I was looking out the window at the stars, thinking if Christ will come. I see him coming. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Gary, are you going to be with him? If Jesus comes in 5 minutes, are you going with him? That just was a knife that cut through me, because I knew I was a sinner and I had never trusted Christ as my Savior. And I began to pray and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I want him to save me from my sin. I want to be ready when Christ comes back. That was many years ago. And you know, God wants us, when we know Christ as our Savior, to take that same message and share it with others. And that's what Christ did. He gave eternal life. And that's what he wants us to do. He's our example. And we should follow in his steps. Now let's hurry. In verse 4, we find another one. Jesus is our example. We find here, he prays to the Father saying, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Notice that Jesus said to the Father, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. God has a plan for every one of our lives. Young people, God has a plan for your life. He does. And today, like I said, you know, people are so involved in things of this world, we don't even hardly consider what God's will is for our lives. But I'm going to tell you this. Yes, we've been in Brazil for 44 years. But let me tell you this. The greatest life you can live is doing God's will, is doing what God wants you to do in your life. And God didn't call everybody to be a missionary. God didn't call everybody to be a pastor. But he does call everybody to live for him and glorify him. And he has a plan for our lives that we might get involved in doing what God wants us to do. And God uses everybody in different ways to what? Reach others with the gospel of Christ. We don't all, you know, not everybody works in the same factory or the same store, same business. No, we work in different areas. Why? Because God wants us to be a witness where we work. He wants us to be a witness where we go to school, where we study. And this is what Christ did. He did what God called him to do. And he also said, I have finished the work. He was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the end. And God wants us to be faithful, doing what God's called us to do. The Allegheny Baptist Church has stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ ever since it began. Don't stop. Keep on keeping on. Keep on at doing what God has called you to do as a church. But as individuals, let's get involved in doing what God has called us to do. It's the greatest life. All right, I've got to continue. As we go to verse 8, we'll find a fourth thing I want to share with you. In verse 8, we find Jesus praying, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou dost send me. Now notice here, Jesus gave them the words that came from the Father. Jesus taught the word of God to others. He taught the word of God. You know, God wants us to be involved in teaching others the word of God. Mom, Dad, we have a responsibility of teaching our children the word of God. Man, the school system today is unbelievably a mess. Many things are being taught today that were never taught in the schools. I went to the Allegheny High School, and I graduated from the Allegheny High School. And, I remember in those days, hey, some of you will probably laugh, but I'm going to tell you the truth. We were told you cannot wear blue jeans to school because that's farm clothes. Man, we didn't even think of that today, you know? I mean, they had some strict rules, a public school. And that's just on the side, but things have changed over the years. Many things have changed. But you know something? God wants us, the word of God never changes. God wants us to take the word of God. He wants us to teach it to others. He wants us to get involved. Share it with your children. Share it with your grandchildren. Share it with others that you're in contact with. I remember in Brazil, we had a man that we were going to buy a building from him, and it all fell through. But he came to me, and he said, Pastor, can I talk to you for a moment? And I said, sure. And he said, I hate this world. I hate this world. That's what he said. I hate the violence. I hate the immorality. And he got kind of emotional about it. And he said, I hate it. I don't know what to do. And I said, can I share a few things with you? And I began a Bible study with him, because he was full of so many doubts and so many questions. And I thought, well, I've got to answer some of his questions. And so I started a Bible study with him for a couple hours a week or whatever, for several weeks. And then we came to Romans chapter 10. And Romans chapter 10 tells us exactly how to trust Christ as our Savior. Let me go there for a minute in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We find here these precious verses in Romans 10, verses 8, 9, 10 through 13, verses 9. And I taught these verses to him. And I told him how he could trust Christ as his Savior. And he said, you know, that's what I need. That's what I want. And I said, well, just ask the Lord then, and he'll save you. And he looked at me and he said, but I don't know how to pray. And I said, I'll tell you what. Take the word of God and pray exactly what you read here. Just take it before the Lord. Tell the Lord what's on your heart. And he did something I've never seen anybody else do. He stopped and he put his finger on verse 9, and he began to read, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and he stopped. And he prayed, Lord, I'm confessing with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Then he stopped. He went back and he read some more. And in thy shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And he stopped and he prayed, Lord, I believe that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Lord, I want to be saved. And he went on, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And he began to pray, Lord, I need your righteousness. I believe that you can make me righteous. And then he went back and he read some more. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And he began to pray, Lord, with my mouth, I'm confessing to you. I want to be saved. And he read verse 13. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he prayed, Lord, I'm calling upon you to be saved. I want to be saved. Then he stopped. And he looked at Hikaru and said, Hikaru, are you saved? And he said to me, well, of course I'm saved. I did exactly what the Bible says. I mean, I know I'm saved. It says so right here. And he went on saying it and repeated the whole thing all over again. And he said, I know I'm saved. I've called upon the name of the Lord. And then he stopped and he said, wow, yesterday I thought I was lost and my wife was saved. But today I know that I am saved and she's lost. And he began to be concerned about his family because he knew what they were trusting in was not the truth. Christ wants us to do his will, to share the gospel with others. And doing God's will enables us to accomplish what God's word. Teaching the word of God helps people to understand and to come to a place where in this world of confusion, they begin to understand and be clear in the fact that, yes, God did create us for himself. Man was created in the image and the likeness of God for him, for eternity. But man has a choice. Are we going to believe that God paid for our sin? Man fell into sin. We're all born in sin. We're all sinners. But praise the Lord, God loved us so much, he gave his son to save us. We need to teach the word of God. In verse 9, we find another thing that Jesus was an example. And he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus prayed. Do we pray? How do we pray for missions? How do we pray for people to be saved? Do we really get involved in praying for people to be saved? Do we call out their names and ask God to work in their hearts that they might trust Christ as their Savior? Or do we just pray, Lord, bless them and help our missionaries, bless them, and in Jesus' name, amen. Or do we get involved? We can go down through here in verse 9 to the end of the chapter. Jesus is praying, and there's seven things here that he prays about, and my time is up. I have to go another 30 minutes to tell you all this, but read it. Take a look at it. Find out what Christ prayed for and get involved. Pray for what he prayed for. He prayed for some marvelous things about us. And look at verse 20. He didn't just pray for those in his time. In verse 20, we read, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus prayed for you, and he prayed for me. And he prayed that we might have these things he's praying about. And there's many things. He prayed for joy. He prayed for love. He prayed for many things here. And he prayed that we might be one. He prayed that the Father would keep us, would sanctify us, make us different than this world. You know, many Christians today don't want to be different than the world. But Jesus prayed for it. He wants us to stand out as lights in the darkness. He wants us to be testimonies for him. He wants us to glorify God through our lives. He wants the Allegheny Baptist Church to be a lighthouse in this community. The devil wants to say, now the Allegheny Baptist Church is coming to the end. Just the old folks there, you know, now. And, you know, it's just getting kind of weak and, you know, things. Don't let the devil lie to you. What I've seen since we've been here in the last few days is marvelous. Yeah, listen, you still believe Jesus saves. You believe the word of God. You're looking for a pastor that preaches the word of God to you. Amen. Keep praying. God will give you one. And let me tell you, this church is a powerful church, but the devil wouldn't want you to think so. And God has given us the example in Jesus Christ of what he wants in us. Are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to do God's will? Are we really willing to let the Lord just take us and use us? You know, all those things that you saw up here, let me tell you, it's not Gary Tyler or Pam Tyler that makes all this work. No, it's God himself. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just nothing but servants, giving ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, you got to do it. You know, we can't win anybody to the Lord, but we have a powerful message we can share. And God convicts the hearts. The Holy Spirit works in their lives and brings them to the place where they realize they're sinners and they need Christ as their Savior. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The day's coming, God's going to call us. Christ is coming back. He's going to take us home to be with him. And oh, what glory is going to be revealed. I'll finish with this verse in Romans chapter 18. Romans 8:18. Okay, my wife is helping me here. Okay, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. All right, what do we read? Here we find, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The day's coming. We're going to be with the Lord, and he's going to show you the glory that he received through your life. What he's received through the Allegheny Baptist Church. What he has done across the world through your missionaries. It's going to be a glorious day. But if we're living for the world, if we want what the world offers, if we just want to get more and more for me, we got a problem. We need to give ourselves to the Lord and let him accomplish more through us for his honor and for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the marvelous things that you've accomplished in Brazil, and not just in Brazil, in many places in this world. Thank you for what you're doing in the Allegheny Baptist Church. Father, we pray you give them a pastor that would help them to continue being steadfast, unmovable. We pray, Lord, that you would help every member of this church to seek your will, to glorify God, to do that which you've called us to do. Help us to live for thee until Christ comes, because you'll be glorified and you'll reveal that glory for your honor and your glory. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. With your eyes closed for a moment, let me just ask a question. Do you have doubts about your salvation? If you have doubts about your salvation, you're not sure you're going to heaven, there's men and ladies here that can help you. We're here to help you. We don't know when the Lord's coming back, but God wants to give you eternal life, and he wants you to know that for sure without any doubt. Anybody want to say, pray for me? I need help. I need the Lord's help. Anyone just want to lift your hand and say, pray for me? I won't call you out or anything. I'd just like to pray for you. Pray that God would help you. Anybody this morning? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Bless us in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.